Right. But Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through 23, three quick verses. And so just read them aloud with me, if you would. So Mark chapter 4, verse 23, it says this, "And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Lord, we love you. I think of that last verse that we just read. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. I pray tonight that we would hear the message that comes from these three verses, that it wouldn't just go in one ear and out the other, but that it would be quickly received and applied in our life tonight. I do pray that you would give me wisdom in how I represent your word tonight, that I would do it accurately and with your spirit and with your power. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open and receptive, that you'd feed us from your word. I love you, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Here's something to pay attention to. When God says, sit up and pay attention, we should sit up and pay attention. That's what he's saying in verse 23. If you've got two ears on your head, listen up is what he's saying. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he gives this parable about a candle. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Anybody have a song come to your mind as you read those verses? Anybody? If you grew up in Sunday school or junior church, you probably did, all right? Anybody have it? This little light of mine? This little light of mine. Let's try it, all right? Try the first verse, all right? Take you back to your childhood for a minute. Are you ready? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. There we go. And just like Sunday school when you're a kid, you've got the little loopers, all right? And you've got the big ones. And then you've got the ones who just do this, right? I mean, they don't want to do anything, any motion, right? And but that song that speaks to letting our light shine, and it comes from a portion of Scripture, this one right here, where the Lord's giving Christians instruction about letting their light shine, if you will, before the world. He gives something similar in Matthew chapter 5. You know, when you think about it, a candle, if you will, is a remarkable invention. It brings a lot of light sometimes to a very dark area. Now, we do have candles. We have candles throughout our house. Sometimes if you were to walk through our house, sometimes to go to bed, I am blowing out candles in every room, all right? I feel like, what did we just go back 100 years? Why do we have all these candles? You go into one room and you smell lavender, in another room, I don't know what it is. And then it went from candles to those, are they called Scentsy pots? Scentsy pots, all right? You ever have one of those? Like you plug it into the wall and they put something in there that melts and it makes the house smell good, which I really appreciate. But why does the house need to smell that way in the middle of the night when everybody's sleeping, okay? And so I'll go through the house sometime. I was like, babe, look, we've got candles in every room. I mean, we got these Scentsy pots going. I said, I'm sure my electric bill's going up. And that might have been a slight exaggeration. But anyhow, we've got candles throughout. But flashlights, I think flashlights would maybe be our modern day version. I can't keep a flashlight in my house. You know, I feel like I have tons of flashlights and none of them work, all right? Matter of fact, I bought a flashlight, a small mag light, and just to put in my truck. You know, you need a flashlight. You never know when you're going to need one in your vehicle, all right? And so I had it in there. And next thing you know, yesterday I'm seeing my kids run around with my truck flashlight, thinking, how did that make its way in here? Samuel. All right. Okay. And how did it make its way in here? And next thing you know, they're just out. They're gone. But I understand it. When I was a kid, I liked to shine those things up in the air, and you can just see that light shining. You can see that line of light shining up. And boy, you can see them in the dark or in the woods or out somewhere like that. You can see that light from a very long way away in the dark. A candle is no different, and it's a unique thing. It's just what appears at very close, just to be a very small flame, if you will, yet you put it in the dark, and you can see it from a good long ways away. And boy, we live in a world that is dark, and Christ called us to be candles or lights to this world, and to let that light shine brightly. And the Lord is teaching us some powerful truths of that I just want to draw your attention to tonight. And the first thing I want you to notice is just the purpose of light, the purpose of this. It says here in verse 22, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, or shall not be manifested, neither anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad, the purpose of light. Boy, the purpose of a candle is to dispel darkness, am I right? You know, you can have a lot of dark, but darkness pales in comparison to light. It has no strength compared to light. You can walk into a room and it can be pitch black and dark and not even be able to see your hand in front of your face. But the minute you flip some little light on it, it's gone. Darkness has no power over light. That's why the Bible says that God is light. Am I right? Boy, the way to get the darkness of sin out of your life isn't about shooing darkness out, but it's about bringing the light in. You bring the light of the Lord in, it's going to change everything. But the purpose of a light, the purpose of a candle is to dispel light. But I noticed this about a candle. You know, a candle doesn't create light. In other words, something had to light the candle. That candle doesn't just flip its switch and turn on. It doesn't just start burning all of its own. Someone had to walk in there with a match or a lighter, and they have to light that candle. As I thought about this, I started thinking about the source of the light in the Christian. John 8, verse 12, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 9, 4 through 5, "I must work the works of him that sent me while this day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Any candle that's really truly been lit must have been lit by the Lord Himself. Goes directly to the purpose of you and I. If we're to be a candle, we must say, well, where does the flame come from? Where does the flame come from? And that is clearly the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I believe this, the purpose of light begins with the source of light, and that source of light is the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about the Word of God. Psalms 109, verses 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my" what? "Path." Psalms 119, verse 130 said this, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple." Boy, light in the Christian's life. If I'm a candle, I can tell you what my flame should be burning brightly with, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, He is the source of light. I'm not supposed to be shining some form of myself or my desires or my will or anything of that. What should be shining through me in my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, a candle just carries the light that something else put on it. Christ is the source of that light, and you and I are just meant to carry that light, reflect that light. Matthew chapter 5, 13 and 6 through 16, Jesus told His disciples this, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." See, you know what? You and I are meant to carry a light, to reflect a light, but the light that we're meant to carry and the light that we're meant to reflect is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are meant to, if you will, reflect Him in our life, to make much of Christ. My life, the light that I should be casting, is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of His Word. I was thinking, as I thought about this, you know, I thought, if I'm supposed to reflect the light of Christ, what does that mean? I can't take on some of His characteristics, can I? I can't take on the fact that He's eternal. Cannot become eternal. I have a date that I was born, and there's a date when I'll leave this world. But I'll spend eternity with Him after that, but I wasn't there in the beginning. I can't take on His omniscience, the fact that He knows all. You can spend a lifetime of learning and not scratch the surface of what God knows. I can't, if you will, take on His omnipotence, His power. I can experience His power and His working in my life, but I can in no way demonstrate His full power. I'll never be able to say, "Let there be light," and actually create light. I can't take on His omnipresence, the fact that He can be anywhere and everywhere at the same time. But I can take on certain of his characteristics. I can take on his love. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. To love thy neighbor as thyself. I can take on his kindness. I can take on his holiness, right? It was imparted to me first at salvation. He has an expectation that I live it. I can take on his holiness. I can take on his concern for a lost world. I can take on those characteristics, and last time I checked, that's exactly what he asked me to do, to be conformed to the image of his son. See, when he tells you and I as a Christian that you are the light, we got to go back to the source of the light, and the source of it is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he passed that torch on to us when he ascended into heaven, and he said, I'm going to light you up, and I am no longer, he said, I'm going to be gone, but now you're the light of the world, and I want you to carry who I am into the world. I want you to carry the message into the world. Look, I cannot, if you will, take on some of those immutable aspects about the Lord, some of those characteristics of that he's eternal and omniscience and his omnipotence and all those things, but I can take on his character traits, and I can at the same time allow his word to shine through my life. His word is a lamp unto my feet. I love that verse where it says, the entrance of his word. How he said this, he said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I love that. When did your candle first get lit? For me, it was in May of 1995 in Madera Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. When that Holy Spirit of God moved into my life. When did you first carry the light that Christ gave you? It was the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. Hey, I can do this in my life. I can begin to take on his characteristics, and I can share the word of God with those around me. I think of this, you know what? If I'm going to carry a light, if I'm going to be a light to this world, then I must demonstrate and uphold the teachings of this book right here. I'm going to have to take on his characteristics, his holiness. He didn't ask me, Seth Han, show the world who you are. He said, Seth Han, show the world who I am. Show the world who I am. See, the purpose of the light is that you and I would reflect, if you will, not who we are, but who he is. I think of how Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5, 19 through 20. To the wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world and himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. When he said ye are ambassadors of Christ, you know what he's saying? You're the light of the world. You're to reflect Christ. You're an ambassador. You're to represent the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. You're to shine and dispel darkness. You are to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say this, we ought to let the attributes of Christ burn brightly in our life. When people describe us, they ought to describe a person who loves people. They ought to describe a person who strives for holiness. They ought to find a person who demonstrates kindness, who demonstrates a concern for a lost world. See, that's when we know that we are burning brightly the light that God intended us to burn. The love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the long sufferings. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. He's saying this, show the light of Christ. Show his character. Show his message. Show his word. He said, light it up. I think of the direction of that light. Look at verse 22 again. He said, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Well, that's a scary verse, is it not? For there is nothing hid. I remember as a kid hearing my mom say, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I think, whoa, God sees it. God still sees it. That's not just a phrase to scare a young person. That ought to scare adults, amen? Some of us think God's not looking. I'll tell you, God is looking all the time. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. He said this, God sees it, but he's speaking specifically here about where that light should shine. And I would say this, the direction of the light is in every place. You ever take a flashlight? Go looking through the woods. My kids like to hide in our closet, the coat closet. I never thought it'd been a good play place, but it's under the stairwell. You go under the stairs and you go in there, open there, and there's a closet, and they'll take the flashlight in there. And that's why all the batteries are dead, right? Or the burnt light bulbs are burned out, all right? But you shine that light. You know where God intended us to shine the light? There is nothing, absolutely nothing that is hid. I believe the first place we should hide, shine that light is inwardly. I think of that verse again where he said, the entrance of thy word. Well, we ought to take a good hard look and take the light of this book and who Jesus Christ is and shine it right inside at ourselves. I think of how he said again in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When's the last time you sat down and said, do I have Christ's love? And does the world see it in me? Do I have the kindness of Christ? And can others see it in me? Do I have the same concern? Am I concerned about the things that God is concerned about? How about holiness? That's a scary one. The Lord said, be holy even as I am holy. That was first mentioned in the Old Testament, repeated in the New, just in case we forgot it. Somewhere in between. Have you asked yourself about holiness? Do I have the holiness of Christ? And is it visible in my life? Do I have a concern for the things of Christ? I would say many times we're not careful. We're concerned about everything that Christ had no concern for. We get overwrought with things that God thought were minor. Hey, and I am, have you shined the light of God's word into your life? Have you shined this book on every aspect of your life? Have you shined it and said, right here, does my family built on this book? Is the way I work built on this book? Hey, why are you here tonight? Let me ask you, why are you in church tonight? If I said to you, you tell me a Bible reason for why you're here, could you tell me that? Most of us might go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you say the day approaching. How about Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, where he said that he purchased the church with his own blood? But if you ask that question, then you must ask yourself, why would I not be here? Some pastors have asked that question of themselves as they, for a time, recently, you know, in that first stages of everything, you pause and the assembling of yourselves together and you go live stream and you try to get your hand around what's going on and you follow those leaders. But as it became indefinite, they began to ask themselves, well, what does the Bible say about church? How long can I stay home? How long can we not do what Christ died for? And they asked a question that our founders asked when they wrote that piece of paper, that pesky paper, right? But even our founders recognized something about rights, that government doesn't create rights. They protect rights that were given to us by who? God. They simply protect it. And I don't mean to get carried away here, but can I tell you something? I'm going to pause here for a minute, but the church that opens its doors in spite of the government's directive is not the one breaking the law. The one that is breaking the law is the one that is telling the church to keep their door shut. Because last times I checked, my constitution says they cannot write law that infringes upon what we do. So just to get it right out there for anybody who may be watching, the one who breaks the law isn't the one who goes to church in spite of what the government says. It's the one who tells you you can't. But that's beside the point. But that goes to this. Why do you do what you do? Every pastor has asked themselves across this country, why do we do as a church what we do? Everything. If you're like me, Sunday school, buses, church. How do I do it? How do I continue? What do I do? Can I ask you, when's the last time you did that as a Christian? And just stopped and said, why do I watch what I watch? Why do I listen to what I listen to? Why do I do what I do? Why am I raising my family the way I'm raising them? And do you have a Bible reason? See, this light of this book and the attributes of God are meant to be shined on every aspect of my life. An inward look, but also an outward shine. He didn't just say, I am the light of you or the light of inside of you. He said, but ye are the light of the what? World. In other words, there shouldn't be a nook or cranny of this world that we don't try to shine this light and the light of Jesus Christ. Every aspect. I must look inwardly and I must shine that light outwardly to every possible place. He says, look, there's coming a day when it's all not going to be a secret anyway. So the best way to be prepared for that day when everything is made open, do this. Make it open today. Shine the light of the Word of God on it. And say, where am I at with Jesus? How brightly is my light shining? He said it's the light, the source of it, the reflection of it, the purpose of it, to shine it in every place. I think of the light of the gospel. I was glad to hear Brother Talley making it back. Hey, Christian, we have just as much of a responsibility to share the gospel with everybody in Columbus, Georgia, as he does in Germany. To make it sure that nobody in this town doesn't know how to trust Christ and doesn't have every opportunity to do so. To make sure that the Word of God, from the gospel of Jesus Christ to the teaching of the Scripture, don't go everywhere around us. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. This light should, the light of Columbus, of Grace Baptist Church in Columbus, Georgia, should shine so bright that everybody has been under its lens, its flash of light. Everybody. He said it should shine out inwardly, it should shine outwardly. And the next thing you notice here is we see the preventing of light, verse 21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Boy, that first verse, the Lord's addressing things that might hide the light. Notice he didn't say anything, and we sing in that song, won't let Satan what? It out. I'm going to let it shine. But he doesn't say anything about the light being extinguished, does he? I'm going to tell you, once Christ starts a light in your life of salvation, the devil can't put it out. That part of the song is doctrinally unsound, okay? He's not putting it out. I don't care how hard he blows, okay? He can't diminish the light, correct? I mean, what God does, the old devil can't stop. Can't do it. But I tell you what he does address, not putting it out or diminishing it, but covering it and hiding it. He didn't say anything about putting it out because you're not putting it out. He didn't say anything about diminishing. That light is burning here just as bright. But, oh, my friend, you can sure cover it with a bushel and cover it with a bed. It's still burning there. It's still bright there. It's not out. It's just as bright as the day it was lit. It's just covered up. I think of those two things, and the first thing he says is a bushel. When I think of a bushel, I think of something, labor. I've never been a farmer, okay? Now, a couple summers, I have baled hay. Pastor Adam, I baled hay and my younger brother for some farmers, all right? And that is hard work. Anybody, how many of you have baled hay before? You baled hay? 60 to 80 pound bales. God forbid those things get wet, right? And then, oh, my soul, all right? But baling those hays, and I remember working with the van meters there near Fair Mountain, and Kyle Van Meter, and my brother and I would be on the wagon. We got the short end of the stick, and he would be driving that tractor, and he would drive that tractor, and we had a thing about competition. Don't ask me why. You know, we were brothers. All right, that's what it was. So he'd drive that thing as fast as he could, and the faster he drove that over those rolls, and that machine would just pump out those hay bales. And so we'd run from one end of the trailer, and we'd start putting them up, and we'd see how fast we could finish one. And I thought it'd be in a hot summer day, you know, 90 to 100 degrees, and there you are throwing those bales, and by the end of the day, you are just wiped out, all right? You know what he's saying here? And the first thing he addresses is don't put it under a bushel. How many times have we drowned out the message of the gospel or the word of God because we were too busy? Oh man, that candle's still burning. Its flame is bright. We haven't given up on Christ. We were so busy, we took our bushel and we hung it over that candle. Can't bring this light into my workplace. It might cost me. I'm too busy to spend time sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or I know what kindness looks like and love looks like, but you don't know where I work. You don't know what I'm doing. And we have taken that bushel and we have set it over our candlestick. How about in a bushel, I think of will, your will to do. How many times have we taken our will and our desires and our wants and just taken it? That candle's still there. We trusted Christ. We can look back at that day we were saved and we were wonderfully saved. But we just cloak it with a bushel of our own will. I've got my desires, got my wants, I've got my ambitions. I'm too busy to let that light shine. See, you can't put out. Always sing it, and I'll probably sing it again. Don't let the devil blow it out, because I get glad. I'm happy that devil can't blow it out, all right? All he's got is a whoo, all right? But I can cover it. I can hide it. Behind the bushel of my labor, your career, your watch, your will, your wishes. How about this one? He didn't stop at a bushel. What was the next thing he said? Bed. Bed. I think of bushel, I think of labor, I think of bed, I think of leisure. Right? Think of a bushel, you think of something that had to be worked for. A bushel of peaches. I am looking forward to those peaches being ready. All right, I love Georgia peaches. When we moved down here, I thought, wow, Lord, Georgia peaches. All right. But someone had to pick them, right? Someone had to work hard for them. It's a picture of labor. But a bed is a picture of leisure. Boy, we live, if we're not careful, we live a lifestyle of pursuing our leisures, our extras, our excess, extinguish the light that God wanted us to shine very brightly and broadly. How many times, if we're not careful, do we cover the light that he sent me to cover because of a sport? We could not, I'm going to step on toes, we could not commit to regularly sharing the gospel, but we can to regularly playing ball. Some people struggle to give to send a missionary abroad, but they can their cable TV bill. They can pay for a lot of things. They can do a lot of stuff. And that light is burning so brightly, we've just covered it with our bed, our leisure, our wants, our desires. Jesus says this, you know, my light is going to burn because you can't put it out. Devil can't blow it out. You can't diminish it. It is bright. But you can cover it. You can hide it. You can put it under your bed or you can put it under your bushel. If we're not careful, we get caught up with our bushels, our wants, our work, our focus, our labor, our careers, and we put the attributes of God for a while to the side because we feel like that can't make it in my workplace. Oh, forgiveness. Forgiveness. You don't know what someone did to me. You don't know what someone did to me. I don't. But Jesus does. And it's not me that said to forgive. It's Jesus that said to forgive. I just repeated what he said. That's all I did. Just alight. Rejoice in the Lord. I know I don't know what you're facing, but Jesus does. And he said, rejoice. Love even as God, love others. Are you kidding me, preacher? You don't know who I got to love. I know, but Jesus does. And he loves them and he asks you to love them. Kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, the attributes of God, the concern of God. You want me to be concerned about every soul that I see? Yes, and not because I said so, but because that's who Jesus is. And he said, let that light shine in you. Holiness, preacher, you don't know how unholy this world is and how hard it is to live holy in the world. I got a somewhat of a semblance of it, friend. I'm made up of the same stuff you are, flesh, right? But he said, live holy. Bear those attributes out there. Don't cover it with your workplace. Don't cover it with your will. Don't cover it with your leisure. Pull it all back and let the light of who Christ is and the instruction of his word shine clearly first inwardly into your life on who you are, and then let it shine brightly from out from who you are to those that are around you, so that there's no questions about who God is and what he's done for you and what his word says, because it is so brightly lit in your life. It's unfortunate so many times. That's why he said there, if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith it shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to trodden under the foot of man. What good is a candle if it's not burning? What good is salt if it can't preserve, or if it's lost its taste? What good is it if the world sees a church that doesn't demonstrate Christ? What good is a church that isn't concerned about the attributes of Christ? A church that's lost its holiness. A church that's lost its concern. A church that's lost its love. A church that's lost its burden for the lost. What good is it? He said, don't hide it beneath your burden, your bushel. Don't hide it beneath your leisure. Oh, it's all right to have some leisure and some relaxation, so that you can get rested up and go charge out again. It's good that you have a job. I'm glad you're working. Some aren't. They're laid off and furloughed. I'm glad you have a job so that you have a mission field to go to tomorrow. So you had some finances to provide for your family so that you as a family can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. A purpose. The prevention. Don't cover the light. It's not going out. You're going to glory regardless. And it's not going to diminish. I don't care what the devil tries. But you can hide it under your bed. And you can hide it under your bushel. Lastly, and I'm going to finish, is the price of a candle. Think about that candle. Boy, a candle has got one purpose, to light up, and some of our candles today, to smell good, right? Got some candle that smelled like coffee. I saw a joking YouTube video not that long about candles for men. And they smelled like all things. Some of them smelled like sweat, all right? Who wants to smell like lavender when your office can smell like sweat, right? Smelled like coffee. I don't want my room to smell like some sweet perfume, all right? Candles, but you know, when they do their best is when they're burning. But you know what happens as a candle burns? It dies, if you will. It's spending itself to do what it was meant to do. The other day, my sister got married a few weeks ago, and they did the whole unity candle. Well, they came up and lit their unity candles, you know, the two on the side, the parents of both sides light their little candle. And then they go up. And the problem is, my dad's a preacher. His dad's a preacher, all right? So, you know, a short wedding, not happening. They were both speaking, all right? And I'm watching those candles just get lower and lower and lower. And I'm thinking, doesn't look good for their marriage. All right, the unity's gone. All right, that unity merit candle's diminishing. But that candle, to really do what it's meant to do, it must burn, right? It must be spent. And I think if we're going to be a light that we're supposed to be, then friend, we must spend ourselves. I can't sit back and expect it to cost me nothing, Brother Anthony. To demonstrate the love of Christ will cost me. To demonstrate kindness to those who show none will cost me. To demonstrate a concern for the lost and share the gospel, friend, it will cost me my leisure time, my bedtime, and my work time. It will cost me. I think of how Paul said this. And as you read, and as I read this, I picture, if I could, a visual picture in my mind, I picture Paul burning himself up for the Lord. Philippians 3, 10 through 14, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As I read that, I picture Paul burning up. Can you read it? And as he's speaking this, I press toward the mark. It's as if he's spending everything that he is and that he has for the cause of Christ. He said, I don't want it. Recently, I was talking to someone and has a lost man, and he was talking, at least I assume that. I'm trying to reach him with the gospel, but he's having some struggle with one of his children. He's sinking into a lot of different things. And he said, I asked him, I said, his son came to me and said, well, what's the purpose of life, Dad? What's the purpose of living? He said, the purpose of living? He said, I looked at him, to grow up, to get an education, get a job, to have a family, to make a living. And he said, looked at me and back at me and said, well, what's the purpose of all that, Dad? I'm going to tell you, the purpose is Jesus. And that is the reason we live in a world, because people haven't given any purpose other than having a job, having a family, walking day to day to day. And I'm telling you, that's not the purpose for a candle to be lit. The purpose is Jesus Christ. And to burn ourselves up for it. We ought to come to the end of our life burnt up. We ought to come to this life let was spent up. I hope I don't come to the end of my life and look back and realize I had more I could have given Jesus. He said, a purpose of a candle is that it would burn itself out. I think of how Paul told Timothy this in 2 Timothy 4:1-8. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He said, Timothy, this is for you. I charge you. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He said this, Timothy, I'm telling you something. I charge thee. I command thee. I instruct thee. Burn yourself out. Because I'm about burnt out. I'm about burnt up. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I'm at the end. And I'm telling you, Timothy, if you love his appearing, you do the same thing. Because boy, does he have something for you. I'm about to see it. Burn yourself up. Live your life for him. I believe this, when you ought to have leisure as a Christian. The purpose of leisure ought to be so I can work hard when I get back up. you ought to make a living so you can pay the bills and serve God. You ought to do these things. But if we're not careful, we make the things of this life the reason for being. And as a result of that, friend, we make young people lose their purpose for being. You're not here just to have a job, just to have fun, just to have a family. You have those things in the course of burning yourself out for Jesus. Hey, there's a time to be born, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells me. Hebrews tells me. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We've got candles in our house. We got a lot of candles in our house. We've got some that burn, some that sit in a drawer. One day, those ones that sit in the drawer, maybe they don't smell so sweet or so pretty. We'll just take them and say, I will never use that one. Others will light and they'll burn till they're done. See the thing about both candles? Both candles got a day when they were made and a day they're gone. One will end up in a trash heap. One will just be burned up with good purpose and goodwill. Friend, you and I are a candle. And the light that we carry, it isn't us. It's Him. The purpose is to point people to the one who gave them everything. To carry His attributes, to carry His word, and the message of the gospel to every single place I can shine it. And not to let anything prevent me. Not my bushels, and not my bed. Not my labor, and not my leisure. Not my wants, and not my wishes. But say, Lord, everything about me must be about the purpose of shining You. Of shining You. And letting You be seen. And then saying this, if there's something I can do, or I don't know when my day to leave this world is, but when I leave it, can I be completely spent? Can I be completely spent? I'm not a big runner. I don't enjoy running, all right? If I'm going to run, I want it to be short, all right? I mean, you run, I believe this. You ever watch, anybody watch the Olympics? I like sports like basketball, football, baseball. And so I'm not a big Olympic fan. I think that swimming is what you do when your boat sinks. All right, that's my personal opinion. All right. Running is what you do when the dog chases you. All right, okay. So I know lots of people different opinions. But, you know, I remember, you know, one time we went to camp. And I could run a 100-yard dash or something pretty quick. It's pretty fast. One year they did this cross-country thing. I don't know why I got in it, but I was like, okay, I'll do this cross-country. And I started running this thing. And I just started it, and I was like, you idiot. Why did you even think about it? And here I am running, and I'm thinking, I'm going to die. And all these people are, like, passing me. And I'm thinking, I'm going to trip him, all right? That's what I'm thinking. If I'm going to win this, it's going to be because I cheated. If you're not cheating, you're not trying, right? Okay, no, I'm teasing. I did not say that, okay? You know, I heard this. And I came to the end of that thing, and I thought, I am surely going to die. And I remember finally, but I couldn't quit. You know, if one thing I could not stand, still can't stand, is quitting, all right? You can go slow, you can do everything, but just don't. Quit, right? So I kept running. I figured if I'm dying, I'm going to die here. It's going to be a dumb reason to die, but I'll die, all right? And finally, I got finished, and I just went, boom. I just went to the ground, and I just sat there and said, I'm not moving until, I don't know what happens, but I know it's going to be a while before I move. But I was completely spent. You know, Christian, let us be completely spent when we leave this world. Let us leave nothing behind. There's a song, Leave with Nothing Left. Steward your life for the reason of spending your life. Steward your life for the point of spending it for Him. I'm not telling you not to practice stewardship. I'm telling you to practice it with the point of spending it and leaving nothing behind. He said, let your light shine. He said, here, let me give you a parable, friend, guys. Let your light shine. Let it shine for one point. I'm going to light it May of 1995, Holy Spirit of God moved in. And my job is to reflect it in my with his attributes, not his omniscience or his eternal, the fact that he's eternal. I'm supposed to demonstrate his kindness, his love, his concern, his holiness. Go on and on and on. I'm to reflect his word in the way that I live my life. I'm to share it with every person I can. I'm to reflect it. And I better guard against covering it. Because I'll be honest, my human nature sometimes goes to cover it without even thinking about it. To cover it. And then to be spent completely. Philippians 1:20, one of my life verses, there's two, that one in John 15:16, but according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I would be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That's my prayer. I don't know how I'm leaving this world, but I'm praying that when I leave it, it brings honor and glory to his name. I just want to know. I don't know if that's just having a good spirit as I go. I don't know how it is, but I know this. I want to honor him in the way I live and the way I die. I want to spend everything. Christian, do you want to spend everything for him? Do you want to spend everything for him? He's the only thing worth spending everything for. The only thing. And a candle burns at its own expense. It's going to cost you. Quit avoiding the cost. Embrace the cost. Embrace it. Because he is worthy. He gave everything for you. Give everything.